I've really enjoyed speaking. I was looking at the lessons that I've prepared. I in 2007, so this is about my 10th year preaching, at least trying, I guess. And I've really been trying to figure out what type of message I should be delivering. And I've really thought about this recently, and it was really difficult to have a lesson this morning. So what if I said that I didn't have a lesson prepared this morning? People would be like, whoa, wait a minute. Should we leave? Well, every time I sit down at my computer, I look at this blank screen. Because I use a blank PowerPoint, it always says, click to add title. And I sit there and I stare at it thinking, what am I going to preach about today? What should I do? What should I pick? I just got back from Washington, D.C. Saw a lot of cool stuff out there. I could pick one of the artifacts of things that happened. We went to the Bible Museum. Learned a lot of great things there. I could pick something along that lines. But I was really struggling. I'm like, what should I think of today? Well, I keep a running list of what I would like to preach on my phone. So I'm going to go and take a look at my list. So the first thing on my list that just kind of jumps out to me would be clothes in the Bible. Well, that sounds like something interesting to do a little bit of research on, maybe to do a lesson. So I needed to head downstairs to my computer to do some research because I'm not exactly sure what I should do here. So downstairs, I have a couple computers to do some research on. And you can see I give Emma some Legos to play with. So I went to try to research what would I preach on this morning regarding clothes of the Bible. I love to dive in deep into the topics of the Bible. So let's do this. I've changed my title now to Clothes in the Bible. Well, let's do a Google search real quick. Clothes in the Bible. There's 81 million search results. This is going to be kind of difficult. I'm going to have to narrow it down to something. It seems like I'm remembering somebody wearing dolphin shoes in the Bible. So let's start there. Right? That sounds weird. So I was just trying to think of something to dive into. So let's take a look at shoes. Seems like the dolphin shoes was a thing. Maybe I can find a website that can help me out. Well, I found a website that's all about Bible shoes. Imagine that. And I found the passage I was looking for. This is just the kind of the way this goes. So I found a passage talking about God's love for Jerusalem. In Ezekiel 16 and 10, it says, I clothed you in embroidered clothes and gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linen and covered you with silk. So right there, we have a lot of imagery about how God's love for Jerusalem. And there was a word, badger skin, was mentioned. I thought I found it, because there is debate on whether that's actually the word badger, dolphin, or dugong. So there is a debate over what word that's used. So I thought, well, you know, this is a badger. This is a dolphin. And this is a dugong. It almost looks like a manatee, but it has an elongated face. The idea was is that this important of clothes was so important that this was one of the most precious piece of clothes we have. But to go on with that, there is a lot to do with shoes. So in Romans 10:15, it says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings for all good things. So it really doesn't matter what shoes we have. As long as you go out preaching the Bible, that's what's important. And I was like, what a great idea for a lesson. But then I kind of hit a brick wall, and I didn't really know what to teach on today. So I went back to my list, and I thought, well, clothes of the Bible is not going to work. How about this one? I love food. How about diets of the Bible? Maybe that's something that we could discuss this morning. So I changed my title to Diets of the Bible. Well, there's a lot of information out there. There's entire books that are diets of the Bible. There's websites dedicated to Bible diet plans. Kind of interesting. Now, when I think of food and diets of the Bible, I can only think of three things. I think of what's given to them in the New Testament, the Old Testament, New Testament, and the Nazarite vow. Those seem to be the only ones that stand out to me. So let's take a look at these real quick. Let's take a look at Old Testament diet plans. So, the entire chapter 11 of Leviticus gives the entire breakdown of food and diets of the Old Testament. So I'd like to read just the first 8 verses, just so we can look and see what they would have eaten at this time frame. And it says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the animals which you may eat among all animals that are on the earth. Among the animals, whatever divided at the hoof, having cloven hooves, and chewing the cud, that you may eat. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud, nor those that have cloven hoofs. The camel, because it chews the cud, but does not have cloven hooves, unclean to you. The rock hyrax, because it chews the cud, but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. The hare, because it chews the cud, but does not have cloven hoof, is unclean to you. And the swine, though its divided hoof, having cloved hooves, yet does not chew the cud, is unclean to you. Their flesh shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean to you." Now, this goes on for the entire chapter of Leviticus 8. So that kind of got me thinking about what they would have eaten in this time frame. So here's just a quick breakdown of the things that they were not allowed to eat. Now, I kind of did some research. I looked into this. I got a couple websites here. And when I look at this, I really start thinking about, wow, that's a lot of fish. It's interesting that there was fishermen in the Bible, right? Because look at the amount of foods that they could have in comparison. So, I was thinking, okay, so that was the Old Testament. What changed in the New Testament? Well, let's take a look. In Acts 11, 4 through 10, it says, "But Peter explained it to them in the order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a terrace I saw a vision, an object ascending like a great sheet let down from heaven by 4 corners. And it came to me. Then I observed it intently and considered. I saw 4-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, no, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, that God has cleansed you, must you not call common? Now this was done 3 times, and all drawn up again into heaven." So I think of Peter here saying, that's not what you told us to eat. 3 times this happened, over and over again. And I think everything that was put forward in the Old Testament is now changed here in the New Testament, saying that now they can eat these things. Now, also when I was thinking about Bible diets, I was also thinking about the Nazirite vow. I don't know if you all remember the Nazirite vow, but that comes from Numbers 6, 1 through 21. And it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when either a man or woman consecrates an offering to take the vow of a Nazirite, to separate himself to the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and similar drink. He shall drink neither vinegar made from wine nor vinegar made from similar drink. Neither shall he drink any grape juice nor eat fresh grapes or raisins. All the days of his separation he shall not eat nothing that is produced by a grapevine or from seed to skin." Now, I think of 2 people that kind of stand out with a Nazirite vow. I think of Samson. And then I also think of John the Baptizer. He also was a Nazarene. And I would imagine he would take the Nazirite vow because in Matthew 3 and 4 it says, "Now John himself was clothed with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey." Then in Luke 1 and 15 it says, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink it neither wine nor strong drink. He shall also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." So it made me think these were the diets of the Bible. The Old Testament, New Testament, what they would have done with the Nazirite vow. But again, I don't think I would have enough for an entire sermon on this. So I had to scratch those both off my list. It's not something that I would be able to do a lesson. So I started thinking, well, what can I do that's not on my list? What about pets? People like pets. That's something interesting to talk about. So I had to think of a verse that required pets. Well, there are some animals in the Bible. 1 Kings 10 and 22, for the king, Solomon here, had merchant ships at sea with the fleet of harem. Once every 3 years, the merchant ships came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. I was thinking, wow, well, that's interesting. That's the only verse I found on that. So, of course, that's not going to be a lesson. So, I really had to sit down and consider what I should put together today. What things should be, what things would look like. So I had to think, what do people need today? What does the world need today? Well, if we add these two together, we know that the world needs the gospel. So I started thinking about other lessons that I've heard involving the gospel and things that we should preach on and things that we should do. I was just in the Amish country not too long ago, and I stopped in the Coshocton Church of Christ, and I heard a great lesson on needing the gospel and the importance of the gospel and what we should do with it and how we should use it. So that got me thinking. I think I know what a good title would be. I think a good title would be Needing the Gospel. Because it's the thing we need the most. Earlier I was talking about going to Washington, D.C. and going to the Bible Museum. They're doing a great job preserving the Bible. They had over 200 original Old Testament writings. And they had thousands of New Testament writings dating all the way back to 150 A.D. So it got me thinking about the importance of this. The spreading the gospel about what the world needs most. About what we must speak. What we must do. That we must speak all of it. And we must speak it at all times. I can't think of anything more important to put together for a lesson. Using God's word to go out and preach all of these things about what the world needs most. So this seems to be almost a perfect outline, which is the perfect outline for my next sermon. That all of those things that I thought about, all of those ideas of different lessons, was not going to work out. I knew today that I needed to put together the gospel and preach it. The things that we have laid aside, the most important things that we have. We know that we're instructed to go out and preach the gospel. It's commanded to us to do that. That we are not to shy away from it. I'd like to look real quick here in Matthew 28. I'd like to read the last three verses of Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So with that, if anyone would have any prayers or would like to become baptized to follow the gospel call, please come forward as we stand and sing.